بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا أسود أو امرأة سوداء كان يقوم المسجد فمات، فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عنه فقالوا مات. قال أفلا كنتم آذنتموني به؟ دلوني على قبره أو قال قبرها، فأتى قبره فصلى عليه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. أمير المؤمنين في الحديث إمام بخاري رحمه الله تعالى reports on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the eminent sahabi, a beloved companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he said أن رجلا أسود أو امرأة سوداء. A lady from Abyssinia or a man from Abyssinia. Abyssinian man or Abyssinian lady used to sweep the masjid. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is reporting this incident, and the student who has narrated this hadith from Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is Abu Rafi'. And the student of Abu Rafi' is Thabit. And the student of Thabit is Hammad ibn Zayd. And the student of Hammad ibn Zayd is Sulaiman ibn Harb. And the student of Sulaiman ibn Harb is Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. This is the chain of narration. Now, as far as Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu he is concerned, he was 100% sure whether the incident that is being narrated here involved a man or a woman. It is not Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who is doubting whether it was a man or it was a woman. The muhaddithin, the experts in the field of hadith, when they encounter a problem such as this, then they analyze the same hadith which has reached them through many chains of narration. And as a result, they have concluded here that it is not Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who has fallen in doubt, it is either Abu Rafi, the student of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, or Thabit, the student of Abu Rafi rahimahumullahu ta'ala. And when studying this hadith that has reached the muhaddithin, the likes of Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Aini rahimahullahu ta'ala, they have come to the conclusion that in the hadith that Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, he has mentioned an Abyssinian lady. So this very hadith is reported by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the eyewitness of the incident. And Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated this hadith to his various students. And then they in return have narrated this hadith to their students. And as a result, this hadith has reached the muhaddithin through various chains. And this hadith has also reached the muhaddithin through another chain leading to another sahabi radiyallahu anhu, who was also an eyewitness. So when they have taken all the narrations into account and when they have studied the chains of narration, they have come to the conclusion that it is either Abu Rafi rahimahullahu ta'ala or Thabit rahimahullahu ta'ala in this chain of narration who has fallen in doubt that was it a male or was it a female. As far as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is concerned, he said a lady. As far as Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is concerned, he said a lady used to sweep the masjid. And masjid here refers to Masjid Nabawi. As far as the lesson of the hadith is concerned, it will not make a difference whether it is a male or it is a female. An individual, female individual or male individual, used to sweep the Masjid Nabawi. And the muhaddithin have concluded that the preferred view is that it was a man. An Abyssinian man used to sweep and clean the Masjid Nabawi on a voluntary basis. She passed away. An Abyssinian lady used to sweep the Masjid. This is the preferred opinion, and she passed away. The muhaddithin have concluded that the name of the lady was Kharqa and her kunyah was Umme Mihjan. So an Abyssinian lady with the name of Kharqa and her kunyah being Umme Mihjan radiyallahu ta'ala anha used to sweep the Masjid Nabawi. She used to clean the Masjid, she used to hoover the Masjid Nabawi. She used to sweep the Masjid. In our days, she used to hoover the Masjid, clean the Masjid. She would remove the dirt lying around in the Masjid here and there by using a sweeping brush. And she passed away. She passed away, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam missed her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not observe her in the masjid according to her schedule. Either she was cleaning the masjid 2-3 times per day, or once a day, or once a week. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam missed her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not observe her. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam inquired regarding her. Where is this lady? She has been missing for so many days. So the Sahaba-i Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain informed our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam that the lady has passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam remarked, Afala adantumuni? Why did you not inform me? Could you not inform me? Why did you not inform me? So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain must have mentioned that when she passed away, you were resting and we did not want to cause you any inconvenience. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, show me her qabr, show me her grave, guide me to her grave, take me to her grave. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to her grave and he performed her salatul janazah again. The sahaba-i kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain had already bathed her, shrouded her. They had already performed her salatul janazah and they had buried her. And now when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learned that this particular lady who used to clean the Masjid Nabawi, who used to clean the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who used to sweep the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has passed away and I have not been able to perform her salatul janazah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam performed her salatul janazah once again. What do we learn from this incident? It's a very short incident, but there are so many lessons to learn from this incident. The first lesson we learn from this incident is that we should not judge anybody by their outer appearance. By their outer condition. Only because somebody is in black in color and we are unable to think straight. A person who has the ability to think straight will not differentiate between a person on the basis of color. A person who can think straight will come to this conclusion that whether the color is black or the color is white or the color is brown, whatever the color may be, they are all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have all been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when people lose the ability to think straight, then they do make distinctions. They do differentiate and they feel that because I am white, I am superior, and because he is black, he is inferior. Or the other way around, because I am black, I am superior, and because he is white, he is inferior. Color. Sometimes we look at their family lineage. Because I belong to a family with a high lineage. I am superior. And because he belongs to a family with a not so high lineage, so he is inferior. Because I am an Arab, I am superior. And because he is a non-Arab, he is inferior. Because I am Sayyid, I am superior. And because he is a non-Sayyid, he is inferior. Sometimes we base our judgments on nationalities. Because I am an Indian, I am superior. And he is not an Indian, so he is inferior. I am a Pakistani, so I am superior. He is not a Pakistani, so he is inferior. I am British, so I am superior. He is not a British, so he is inferior. I am American, so I am superior. He is not American, so he is inferior. Sometimes we base our opinions on statuses. Because I am the leader of the community, I am superior. And because he is not a leader, he is inferior. I am an MP, so I am superior. They are not, so they are inferior. Sometimes people base their opinions on wealth. I am rich, so I am superior. And he is not so wealthy, so he is inferior. The criteria for superiority is only one: taqwa. 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 The more one abstains from those things which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more superior he is. And the more one indulges in those activities which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more inferior he is. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honored amongst you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa. And the only being who knows who has more taqwa and who has less taqwa is none besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. So it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows who is carrying out more deeds which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who is abstaining from more actions which are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah who knows. Because we don't observe people 24 hours of their lives. And even if we were to observe somebody 24 hours, the actions are divided into two categories. The actions of the outer body and the actions of the inner self, the actions of the heart. So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is carrying out more good deeds and who is carrying out more evil deeds. Only Allah knows. So the criteria for superiority is only one: taqwa. And nobody is aware of the quantity and the quality of taqwa of the others. And even regarding himself, he is unaware. So we will only be able to claim superiority when we depart from this world and go into the hereafter. Until then, we cannot claim superiority over anybody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam here is practically showing the status of this lady who during the time of ignorance was looked down upon as a result of her color. It is for this reason Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu begins this narration with these words, that an Abyssinian lady to teach us this lesson, that we should not judge anybody on the basis of their outer appearance. Sometimes outwardly a person may look very sinful, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his position in his court. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what lies for this person in future. It's possible that outwardly he looks a sinner, but as far as his heart is concerned, he is carrying out so many good actions that if you put everything together, then as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's court is concerned, he is going to become successful in the hereafter. And it's possible that our outer actions are nothing but good, but because of the inner self is evil. If we put everything together on the day of Qiyamah, we may become failures. And it's possible that putting both together, the outer amal and the inner amal, the outer actions and the inner deeds, this person is inferior to us at this very moment. And putting all our outer amal and the inner amal together, at this moment we are superior to him. But maybe after 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years, this person is going to repent and make a U-turn. And in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to become more superior to us. So we should never look down upon anybody as a result of their outer condition. An Abyssinian lady used to sweep the masjid. That is the first lesson. Second lesson is sweeping the masjid, cleaning the masjid, service towards the masjid, khidmah of the masjid is a very meritorious and very rewarding act in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Supporting the masjid, being of service to the masjid, khidmat of the masjid, is a very meritorious act, very rewarding act in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can support the masjid, we can serve the masjid by either practically helping in the cleaning of the masjid, maintaining of the masjid, or by donating towards the running of the masjid. Allama Aini rahimahullah ta'ala, in his famous commentary of Bukhari Sharif, narrates a hadith in which it is stated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also sweeped the Masjid Nabawi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also practically he sweeped the Masjid Nabawi. Why? Because sweeping the masjid and cleaning the masjid is not an inferior amal. It is not an inferior action. Cleaning the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being of service to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an action in which a person should take pride. Pride in the sense that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen me to serve his house. Allah has chosen me to clean his house. Allah has chosen me to be of service to his house. And I am cleaning the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am facilitating cleanliness for those Muslims who will be coming into the masjid to worship the Creator. who will be coming into the masjid and who will be reciting the Quran, who will be engaging in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will be engaging in prayers and dua, who will be engaging in salat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, ikhrajul qumamati min al masjid. When a person sweeps the masjid with a brush, with a sweeping brush, with a broom. So when a person sweeps the masjid with a broom, then the dirt is collected in one corner of the masjid or in a place of a masjid. This dirt that is gathered together, collected together, that is called al-qumama in the Arabic language. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who throws out this qumama from the masjid, who takes out this qumama from the masjid, not the one who sweeps and cleans the masjid. Sweeping and cleaning the masjid will take long time. It will take half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 20 minutes. Once the dust and the dirt and the rubble is collected, then the person who picks that rubble up and throws it outside in an appropriate place, ikhrajul qumamati min al masjid, to take out the qumama, this rubble, this dirt from the masjid, muhurul huril een, it is dowry for hurayin. As a result of this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala weds him with the hurayin. Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala states that the first person to light a candle or to bring a lantern and light a lantern in Masjid Nabawi was the great companion Tamim Ad-Dari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So in the initial stages of Islam in Madina Munawwara, there was no candle, no lantern, no light. When the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain used to come and perform Maghrib Salah, Isha Salah and Fajr Salah. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam came into the masjid and he was surprised to see candles or lanterns in Masjid Nabawi. A very insignificant deed, a very insignificant action as far as we are concerned. Lighting a few candles here and there, or one or two lanterns here and there. So surprised, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, who has lit these candles? Who has lit these lanterns in the masjid? So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majma'in said, Tamim Ad-Dari radiyallahu ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam turned his attention towards Tamim Ad-Dari radiyallahu ta'ala. And he said, Ya Tamim. He said, O Tamim, Nawwarta Masajidana. You have enlightened our masjid. You have enlightened our masjid. Nawwar Allahu qalbak. I am making dua for you that may Allah enlighten your heart. Serving the masjid brings the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prayer of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here also, this lady who was cleaning the masjid, she had acquired the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for this reason, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed her for a few days, he inquired, where is that lady? And she also became worthy of the prayers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, take me to her qabr. And he performed salatul janaza, which is a form of dua, prayer. And through his salatul janaza, he made dua for this lady who had passed away.
Those people who clean the masjid, who keep the masjid clean, who support in cleaning and maintaining masajid, acquire the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and also acquire the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Navvarta masjidana, you have enlightened our masjid wa tamimidari. Navvar Allahu qalbak, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten your heart with hidayah. May Allah enlighten your heart with the noor of the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah enlighten your heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah enlighten your heart with all the good traits. And being of service to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so meritorious that what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say further? He said, you have made me so happy with this service towards masjid that all my daughters are married, unfortunately. If I had an unmarried daughter, لَوْكَانَتْ لِي إِبْنَةٌ, if I had an unmarried daughter, قَدْ زَوَّجْتُكَهَا, I had given my daughter in your marriage. I would have given her in your marriage. My friends, let us all, those who are sitting in the masjid, those who are listening at home, those who will listen later on from the website or from CDs, those sisters who are listening to me at this very moment, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will be of service to the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will take part in its cleaning and we will assist physically and also financially in maintaining masajid. Some of us will be able to do both, physically clean the masjid and also support the cleaning and the maintenance financially, and some of us will be able to do either of the two. Because we are not so well financially, we will be able to serve the masjid by helping out in the cleaning of the masjid, and some of us are well to do but we do not have time, so we will be able to help out financially. Let us make a firm resolution that here we are not talking about constructing masajid. Constructing masajid has its own virtue. This is after the construction of the masajid, maintaining and looking after the masajid. Let us make a firm resolution. And never look down upon any deed as insignificant. Those people who can be categorized as Rijalul Akhirah, the people of the Akhirah, the people who strive for the Akhirah and the people who will become successful in the Akhirah, Rijalul Akhirah, they are very, very greedy as far as the good deeds for the hereafter are concerned. Just as the Rijalul Dunya, those people who make dunya their goal are very greedy as far as wealthy aspects are concerned. A person who has £1,000 in his pocket, if a £1 coin falls from his pocket, he'll start searching for it, looking for it. He will not say it's an insignificant sum. No. Every pound and every penny is precious. Similarly, the people of the Akhirah, they are greedy for the good deeds that will help them in the hereafter, however insignificant they may be. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was once in the masjid, in a masjid, and his gaze fell on a very small dirt. Sometimes we also see small dirts. Maybe a hair, maybe something has flown into the masjid from outside, from a tree. Something has fallen. Something very small. He picked it up and very quietly, discreetly, he placed that small dirt in his sleeve. And he left the masjid. And outside the masjid, in an appropriate place, he threw that small dirt. One of his students who was in the masjid at the time saw Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala doing this, and he narrated this incident, and it has reached the ummah. There are many lessons to learn from the actions of our elders, these great people, the people of the akhirah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, such a great accomplishment, Bukhari Sharif, as-sahul kutub ibadah kitabillah. And he himself was very, very pious. Very, very pious. Day and night, learning, teaching, with that so much ibadat. So many good qualities and good traits Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi had. Time does not permit me to enter that subject. Despite that, he was greedy for this insignificant amal. Insignificant as far as we are concerned. So he picked this small object lying in the masjid, which was a source of dirt for the masjid, and because of his sincerity, he did not keep it in his hand, or he did not hold it with his fingers. He did not want anybody else to see it, that he has carried out this act. He was doing it secretly, so he very quietly placed it in his sleeve. And he left the masjid like this. And when outside, even if somebody was observing him at an appropriate place, he just let go of his hand like this. So that the dirt fell. So number one, he carried out a good deed, and he was so particular in regard to ikhlas and sincerity that I do not want to waste this deed of mine by letting others know that I have carried out this deed. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, from today we will be of service to the masajid, we will support the masajid in cleaning the masajid, in maintaining the masajid. Inshallah we will try to discuss the other lessons that we find in this incident narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in the coming gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all and grant us the tawfiq to learn deen and follow the deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، واجعل الجنة هي دارنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما عاتيتنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.
ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا